start using cutting-edge Warp Speed 5G technology with your cell phone. Let me tell you about my friends at mobilemobile.io. They have an ultra-fast 4G LTE and 5G network that covers 99% of Americans. So they've got you covered everywhere. Think about it for a moment. You have the opportunity to take a test drive for 10 days with unlimited talk, text, and premium data. What is premium data? Premium data is an allotment of a cellular data that you receive from a higher priority on the network. You won't get throttled like you will with some of those, well,
non-brand
service providers. To find out more information, all you have to do is go to mobilemobile.io. That's mobilemobile.io to start your 10-day free trial.
The Jay Allen Show is streaming now on safetyfm.live. This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Hello and welcome to the Jay Allen Show. Hopefully everything's going fine in your neck of the woods. I hope everything's going well inside of your world currently, especially with everything changing on a day-in, day-out basis. Well, I'm going to tell you today's episode is going to be a special episode as we have a conversation with Riggs Eckelberry. And I'm going to tell you, we normally don't talk a lot about different things outside of the world of safety. Now, there's going to be a huge tie-in to what we have going on inside of the world of safety with what Riggs has to share with us. So let's go into it. Let me give you a little bit about Riggs before we get started. Riggs Eckelberry doesn't look like a bomb thrower, and yet he's driving a disruption of a $1 trillion industry that has fallen behind in the times and is affecting the health of millions. The industry is big water. Simply, those $1 billion centralized water systems aren't coping with demand, and water quality is getting worse. The answer? Instant infrastructure. Businesses are doing their own water treatment using modular prefabricated systems that are trucked right on site. They get better water quality, lower rates through recycling, and even improve environmental grades. If the name Riggs Eckelberry sounds familiar to you, you might have heard him on Bloomberg Business, LA Times, Yahoo, and Environmental Leaders, and many, many, many more places. So without further ado, Riggs, welcome to the show. So Riggs, I have to ask you right away out of the bat, when we got in contact with the group and trying to figure out some things, it looks like we were inside of the software space for a period of time, and then all of a sudden you changed everything to focus on water. What led you to do this change, and why the pursuit of water all of a sudden?
Well, it's very interesting because early on in my career, I was in the nonprofit space, and that kind of gave me the change the world attitude. But I finally, in the 80s, started to feel that technology was really going to be a major world changer. And, I just felt drawn to it. And over the years, ended up in the .com and was witness to these tectonic shifts that occurred. And in fact, I had some, usual liquidity exits, et cetera. And finally, I got to the point where I was considered a CEO grade person. And the fund that decided to recruit me as a CEO said, Riggs, we're doing algae and algae for biofuels. We think that's the new thing. And I was like, okay, let's do algae. It was more like, an opportunity to change the world with my disruptive marketing approach that I'd learned in the .com. But then the crazy thing happened was that the company was started to create the next biofuel. It was called Origin Oil. Just found ourselves facing the fracking boom, which blew away our economic basis. You can't make algae for biofuels at, $35 a barrel. And so algae became a science experiment overnight. We were very fortunate that our technology could be repurposed away from harvesting algae to harvesting sewage, essentially. And that's what we moved into. What was amazing to me is that from almost the first day that I entered the algae industry, the water industry, I went from being a media darling, you know, algae was so cool, and Stuart Varney called me Algae Man and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, it was like, nobody cared. You know, people like to say water's important to them, but they don't want to know the details of sewage treatment, right? So I found that, A, that there was just no media visibility, and B, that the water industry itself was perfectly happy not to change. It did not need anything. Which was weird to me, since I learned very quickly that the water industry only treats 1/5 of the bad water in the world, and the rest of it, it just dumps. And you have to wonder why they think they're so doing such a good job. And we eventually got to the core reason why. But bottom line is, it's actually become a great space for me because I think I've learned to do that constant innovation model within this water industry.
So, of course, you're going to have the inside detail for sure then in regards how we should be looking at water. And, of course, as I go through some of your information, I guess really one of the questions I need to ask right away is, do you think city water is okay to drink?
City water is a problem. If you go to the Environmental Working Group, they have a zip code database, which will horrify you no matter what zip code you're in. That is a problem. And what's an even bigger problem is that the central infrastructure that we all rely on is falling apart, right? And that's very similar to the energy grid, where the central energy grid is so out of date and so held together with scotch tape that the new initiatives around energy management are happening in microgrids, right? And a very similar thing's happening in water. It's just very invisible. Nobody sees it. Everybody assumes that some magical thing happens when you flush the toilet. But in fact, it's very, since 1960, really, the degradation began that long ago, and it's not going to get better. And try to build a $500 million plant anywhere near a city, not going to happen. So the future is decentralized, small is beautiful, very, very much how we're going to take more responsibility for quality of water in the world. And you and I will have better water, not because the city made it better, but because we made it better.
So some of these organizations, and I'll use this as an example, there's this place out in New Mexico, in Taos, New Mexico in particular, that they're known for building something called an earthship. And what they have done is they have made their roofs to be able to capture water, and they're like self-contained. Do you think that's the concept of water that we should go to next in regards to capturing our own water?
Well, it's one of the many ways. Water capture is a versatile space having to do with, you know, air harvesting, water falling through watersheds, recycling, even desalination, all these sources. It's really, what do you do with it once you've got it? And that's, I think, that's the real challenge, is so much water goes untreated that we're literally, you know, we're pooping in our own ocean. It's pretty terrible what's going on. And it's not an unlimited, you know, it's not a bottomless pit. It does eventually get worse and worse. We're suffering from whatever happens in Japan, China, India. And frankly, our own practices aren't that great. So I think it's time to really look at, and we did, and that's where the coronavirus was so amazing in terms of how it accelerated things and forced us to really look at the core issues. How do you wrap up water treatment? And that's what we think we've solved.
So, of course, you can't just leave us hanging. That's called a cliffhanger there. You have to give us more.
Well, yes. And every single movie, this is why we have these endless Netflix binges. You got to go to the next one, right?
So, right. I can't just stop right now and be like, we'll be back right after this commercial break. No, I have to know what's going on.
It's terrible. So, well, here's what happened. What we realized was it's a brand new world in terms of smaller water equipment by businesses, industry, agriculture, commercial buildings, etc. But whereas there's a well-organized institutional funding market for the large municipal systems and even to some degree the multinational big corporate deals, the smaller ones have no market. And so you end up with a situation where the agents of change, which are these on-site water treatment solutions, don't have the funding needed to really make it happen. And so it's all held up by capital. That was chronic before the COVID, but it became acute in January because we're very sensitive to funding currents. In January, we saw tremendous amount of freak out occur. And that's when we realized we really had to deal with the problem face to face. And it eventually brought us to this realization, which was, I think, pretty stunning, is that there actually is no way that a everyday investor like you and me can invest in a water equipment, financing water systems, the same way that they can get involved with oil and gas limited partnerships, real estate investment trusts, even solar gigs. The passive investment structure, which is so popular these days because people are tired of the stock market, is just not available for water. And we realize there can be an alternate investment marketplace for water treatment systems. And this is probably the most important thing that could happen in the water industry for the next decade. And the power of a marketplace is pretty stupendous. And we realized that our jaws dropped and we went, oh Lord, this thing is, it's kind of like, I read the story about the Airbnb guys. They struggled, but there was an aha moment. People realized, oh wow, this thing really can be transformative. And that was long past the seed. There was, I think it was the A round where people really got excited. And a similar thing, I think.
This is the Jay Allen Show.
At Hop University, we cut the bullshit out of human and organizational performance training. We were born out of necessity. We hear it all the time. Human and organizational performance courses are expensive and hard to find. Safety classes put me to sleep. Help. So we did. We offer on-demand, high-quality online courses in human and organizational performance, safety, and leadership, all led by seasoned safety and HOP practitioners. No need to schedule time for that conference, no need to track down the latest guru, and no stuffy classroom required. Join us today at hopuniversity.org. That's hopuniversity.org.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
So what do you think the solution is? Because, of course, at least here where I'm located, we'll get the door salesman that's like, you need a water softener. That's going to improve your water. And they'll give you some different options there. But besides that, you don't hear a lot of people talking about, quote unquote, the water system and how it needs to be improved. So what are your recommendations to go down here?
Sure. And I want to just preface it by saying doing it in a single family home is not the first thing we'll do, because scaling down is a big challenge, as we all know. So we are operating in more of the, let's say you have a brewery that needs to double its capacity and the city says, no, you can't. And then what do they do? Or the pig farm that spends $4 million a month trucking poop off site and makes waste management very, very happy. Whereas, an investment in a $2 million system one time would solve the entire problem and generate beautiful fertilizer and clean water. So why? These are the people who need the help, right? Is the people who have fairly large, comparatively larger than a single family home, but smaller than municipal. They're kind of stuck in the middle. And for them, there is a technology solution and there's also a financial solution. Now, technology. We invested in 2018 in a way to deliver water systems in a box, essentially, a modular. It's called modularwater.com, modular water systems. And it's a way to go, okay, you want your system to clean, well, let's clean them in your effluent in your farm. Yes, we could build a huge concrete setup and spend months doing it, or we could just drive a modular system up and plug it in and it'd be working and it would just sit on a pad and be done. That is a technology that we've licensed for a long period worldwide with excellent patents. And it's a key to the solution, because you have to have essentially roll in, roll out technology to make our financial vision work. And that's the other big piece of the story.
So right now, let me just ask the strange question of, let's say, for instance, I'm actually at a restaurant, and I'm just going to try to swerve this a little bit here. I'm in a restaurant, and I have the availability of actually getting tap water or bottle water. What would you recommend doing?
Well, of course, the restaurant the solutions technologically are pretty simple. You know, a reverse osmosis system in the restaurant, and now you've got beautiful water. In fact, what we've done is a premium hotel chain that I really can't mention at this time. When they heard about this modular water system approach, they got very interested, and they said, "Listen, we want to solve for our hotel, not just put little bottles on the bureau. We want premium, ultra premium water in the shower, in the taps, in the kitchen, everywhere. We just want it. The entire hotel is just going to have great water, and we want to recycle the gray water for watering the lawns and so forth. And we also want to be good stewards of the black water, the poop, as you might say, so that when it goes out, we're delivering treated water to the municipality, which is what they like. We want to have it all. And so we were able to specify a shockingly, because here's what happens with hotels. The guy at the top, the chief engineer, says, oh, this is a great solution. Then, of course, every single hotel underneath him decides, well, we can figure it out better. And you know, they have this little herding cats thing going on. So they got to go out and look and find their own solution. Well, they all of them found that any other solution than this one was like quadruple the price. And it comes down to the best, most economical way to deliver a water system is not to build it on site, but to mass fabricate it at the factory, just the same way they make Ford cars. And that was the breakthrough technologically that has allowed us to be very, very, cost effective. But also, here's the thing. What did the virus teach us financially? It taught us that investors want three things. They want yield. They want, you know, they don't want to make money on their money. They want liquidity. They don't want to have a lot of problems, you know, freeing up their cash. Number three, they want safety. Those three things are key to anybody investing in the marketplace. And they'd rather give up yield if, you know, they'd rather buy bad bonds if they're safe. So safety and liquidity are far more important than yield. But at the end of the day, you got to make some money on your money, because we know the U.S. dollar is going to get very, very cheapened over time by the largesse of the Federal Reserve. So knowing that, how can we attract investors to water equipment financing? And that's by saying, well, I'll tell you what, why don't we use the short-term rental model, which is incredibly profitable? So now you go to the brewery and you go, okay, you have this project, you want to double your capacity, you'll sell a lot more beer, you'll make a lot more money, but you can't do it because the water, you can't send the water to the local municipality. What do? Fine. Tell you what, we're going to truck in a system in 30 days that will take care of your needs. And for starters, you're just going to pay first, last, and security. It's going to be a short-term rental. You don't have to worry. Month to month is fine. If you stop paying, we're going to take it back. So it's like renting TVs in the poor part of town, right? The rent-a-center model. And they'll go, okay, but you're going to charge us a lot of money. Go, yes, but tell you what, that gets you going. Now you can make money from this. And while you're doing that, we'll work on that big lease deal that we need to spend a few months doing and get the SBA behind and blah, 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 blah. So we're essentially saying, look, you will be able to convert this to a buyout or a lease out option. But for now, let's get you going. Let's put you in this system. And it breaks down the whole capital model, because the problem with capital is it's slow, right? A friend of mine told me how he gets a mortgage. He's a high net worth guy. And he says, Riggs, when I get a mortgage, some people just send me something to sign one time. And it's done. And I thought, wow, the last time I bought a house, I had about 100 documents to sign. So clearly, when you have money, when you have assets, when you have a lot going on, it's very easy. But when you don't have so much, and when you're struggling a little bit with your cash flow, but you have lots of opportunities, then you're grateful for, like, okay, good, solved our water problem. Let's make more beer. Let's do that. Now, while that's happening, yeah, it's about $5,000 a month more than it should be, but got us going. And meanwhile, let's get that big package negotiated that we're going to roll the thing over into, and we give all kinds of incentive to do that. So what we're really talking about here is a way to jumpstart a water equipment package for a business in a way that gets them, enables them to get things going. And I have a concrete example of what we did last Thursday to bring it back to earth. And then it can always be turned into something that you can tolerate for the duration. And what happened last Thursday is we showed this could happen in a space called pool water recycling, which is a very interesting new vertical that where a pool cleaning tradesperson, somebody who has a pool cleaning business, whether they're sole proprietor or have a bunch of people, is always looking for more profit centers because pool cleaning itself is not that great a profit center. And it turns out that there's a special kind of trailer you can pull up to a house and you can run kind of a kidney dialysis process through the pool to remove all the minerals and the salts and the stuff, as opposed to flushing it out, potentially cracking the pool. This has become big business. The problem is most pool cleaning companies or sole proprietors, they don't have the cash or capital or credit to get going, or they don't want to do personal guarantees. What we found was that they're delighted to rent this unit because the first deal we did, this pilot program, Ryan Kustra had migrated from, he had his whole old career kind of fell apart with COVID, and he was looking for something new. And we were able to put him into this business. And now he's doing 20 plus cleanings a month at $600 to $800 per cleaning with a unit that he's renting for $3,000 a month. And once he's making money, making good money, he's making fine money. And when he's ready in 6 months, he'll convert it to a longer term lease and everybody wins. That is a model that we're going to start replicating. And we think we can cause a boom in productive water equipment systems in the U.S. and elsewhere in the world.
This is the Jay Allen Show.
Hey, Jay, just wanted to tell you, I have a new book, and it seems kind of timely. Although I didn't write it for a global pandemic, and by the way, this is my first one, it seems to have lots of legs on this topic. The book's called When the Worst Accident Happens, and it's a field guide to understanding how to begin a restorative process of responding to a horrible event. That book is available now on Amazon. I think you'd like it. Tell all your friends.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
Now, is this something that is available everywhere in the U.S.? So if I was to contact you today, you could actually hit me up anywhere inside of the United States?
Right. So there's a couple issues. First of all, if I were to tell you, you can invest in a water equipment system, I would soon get a call from the Securities Exchange Commission. Right? They don't like public offerings. It can be construed as a security. So there's legal work to be done. Right now, we're operating in the lab. We have three proofs of concept. We just completed the first one. The second one is going to be a system that treats the sludge in trailer parks. And I have to tell you, the trailer parks all over the South have very bad sanitation practices. I'm not going to get into details. I don't want to make your audience sick, Jay. The third vertical, which is going to be the most ambitious one, is going to be with a hog farm in Wisconsin. We've got them all lined up, and we're doing them all inside this bubble of we don't have to worry about regulation. Now, here's the great news. We believe we've solved the regulatory issue. We think that it's a matter of months before we will be able to say, Jay, you qualify to invest XYZ. Or let's say, Jay, that you don't want to put $100,000 into a water equipment package, but maybe you'll join a syndicate, like a oil and gas limited partnership, right? So there's all kinds of ways we're going to productize the financial offering. But at the end of the day, let me tell you, there's no problem finding water projects that are looking for funding. Not a problem. They're lined up. And here's the funny part. There's no problem getting the investors either, because how well has real estate done this year? Oops, not so great. Second time in a decade it's crashed. Oil and gas, how's it doing this year? Oops, not so great. Second time in a decade that it's crashed. Solar has lost so much momentum, it's going to take 5 years to recover from this crash. So the three major categories of alternative investment are in deep trouble right now. Time for a fresh one, and let's do it right so we don't get crashes. Water doesn't really crash. It kind of goes on. Water, it's not a supply-demand issue. People need water, and it's kind of continuous. So we think it's a more stable, recession-proof space, and we're excited about doing a bypass of all the institutions, of all the stupid merchant cash advance people, all the stupid ways people finance things, and do the right thing by the commercial water user and the water company that wants to sell the system to it. Because, Jay, at the end of the day, we don't want to do all the deals. It's not how things scale up. We want to step back and run a marketplace, run an Airbnb for water. And that is, of course, immensely scalable. It's got huge potential for us in terms of valuation. But it's also the only way. You got to include everybody in the game. Any water company in the world, come on in. All we're going to do is make sure that your technology solution meets the demand. So we're going to have a chief engineer who's a guru, and he's going to take a look at your proposal, and we're not going to allow it to go into the marketplace, just like Airbnb. You know, you got to meet certain standards, and only then will an investor be shown this on the market. And also, we're going to qualify the investors. So we want to be the beneficial marriage broker, shall we say, between investors and water treatment projects.
So let me just use this as an example. Michael Burry, who was actually kind of well known for the movie The Big Short, he was the one that kept on saying that he saw how these investments were not going to work out on these subprime mortgages. Mm-hmm. For the last few years, he's been saying that the next big market will be water. What is it that most investors are not seeing? What is it that you see that they don't see? What is it that you're going, this is how everything's going to turn? So as long as, you know, Michael Burry is saying the same thing, what is it that you're seeing that, let's say, the average is not being able to recognize?
Well, it's been 5 years since The Big Short came out. And,
right.
You know, it's so, and of course, The Big Short itself was much earlier. So we've had almost, we've had more than a decade. And just like me, Michael Burry hasn't gotten very far because there are structural, it's like Airbnb revolutionized the hotel industry by not trying to change the hotel industry. It just did a workaround, right? And every single marketplace that succeeds brings in a class of participant that was locked out before. It used to be you could not just drive down the street and take a ride. It was called, you know, a gypsy cab, and you could get pulled over and given a ticket for that. You could get
absolutely, right? Absolutely.
A big ticket too. So in New York City, now Uber made it possible for you and me to just, hey, you know what? I want to make rent. Let me go out and drive for a bit. Same thing for Airbnb. You know, B&Bs weren't scalable. And so what Airbnb did was, there's the hotel industry just as strong as it ever was, but there's a lot more short-term habitation going on. And that's because in both cases, a bigger market was created. Now, what I'm saying to you is we think that the key to unlocking the expansion potential of the water industry so it can really help the planet is to take the friction out of the financing step and to make it trivial. Here, sign here, give us 3 months, go. And that's going to be, I think, the revolution.
So right now you referenced earlier that if somebody was coming in, they want to do the rental type thing, meaning from a organization, a company, so on. So let's use an example of the brewery. You said that you could probably get in about a 30-day turnaround and then do the lease of a bigger system or the system a little bit more driven towards them. At some point, will you be selling these systems to the company, organization, / consumer?
Right. So let's fast forward past our little lab where we're doing things in safety. And let's assume that we get our legal act together in terms of regulation. So I have to tell your listeners, you cannot invest in a water equipment system today, but you can invest in the company. You can if you're accredited, you can always, we have a private placement, all that stuff, but you can't yet buy directly. But here's what will happen next. The next phase will be a kind of a market, but with completely incestuous players. The only water company in that market will be Origin Clear. And the only investors in that market will be investors who are already investors in the company, so that we can keep it under control and not have it just go wild and crazy. And that will go on as long as it takes, maybe, I don't know, 6-8 months a year, who knows. It'll be more milestone-based when we feel that we're robust enough to go, okay, any water company can list itself, and any investor can go come browse and, you know, hit a button and invest. That, I believe, is more of a, you know, mid-2021 type thing. But let me tell you that running a marketplace with just Origin Clear, because we have good capabilities in-house, and our existing investors, of which we have over 10,000, I don't think that this is going to be a problem. I think that will work very well. And when people see this marketplace running, they will have an aha moment. And this, I have to tell you that you know, Jay, there will be very large water companies looking at this and going, Now, are we worried that they're going to copy us and roll out with it? Not really, because we've learned that, I've learned from the .com, that the people you think should have that bright idea as fast as you're having it, they'll have it long after you do. So I think we'll have an opportunity to spend 8-10 months a year building this marketplace. It's called Investor Water, is the name of it. And Investor Water will grow, and I think will be taken out by a water company. I don't think they'll try and steal it, because we will have fleshed it out so thoroughly, and we'll have that kind of, you know, Airbnb kind of primacy. And remember, this is a $1 trillion industry. This is not a small industry. So if we can make this work, I think I will have finally, you know, achieve my life's work, which is to change the world in ways that are technology friendly, but also really help people. And I think it's finally there. So super excited.
This is the Jay Allen Show.
Have you been considering wanting to take the Safety Consultant Blueprint course online? Well, let me throw a little monkey wrench into your thoughts. I'm going to do a live 3-day event on Zoom. It's going to be a workshop that is me walking you through this course step by step by step. Each day, July 28th, July 29th, and July 30th, from 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have an intimate group of a maximum 15 participants. So register today. SheldonPrimus.com/live for the Safety Consultant Blueprint. So go to SheldonPrimus.com/live and register today.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
Now, do you think that this would be something that where larger water companies might come in and try to do some sort of license agreement with you and Origin Clear, opposed to doing the rental and move on? I mean, let's just be real. Most companies are going to try to steal the technology. So is that something that you'd be open to, doing a license agreement?
Well, okay. You're absolutely right. The modular technology, we just literally renewed our license with Dan Early, the inventor, to make it a 10-year renewable license with sub-licensing rights, because we're going to say to a water company, oh, you want to bid on this, this 200 door housing development that's in the middle of Pennsylvania and needs to have its own water treatment system? Well, you're going to have the technology. Oh, you don't have the technology. Oh, we're happy to help here. And so, yeah, I think we'll license the technology. I think that is a subtopic. I think the main topic is going to be creating a marketplace where people can meet and, you know, connect themselves up. And what we'll offer is this super simple, high speed funding mechanism. And of course, technology oversight and providing technology where it's missing. With that in hand, you know, then there's about 20 million other things we got to do, but that's the main ingredients.
So let's talk about the stuff that some people are going to want to know more details about, of course. How is this version of water safer than what I can get from the city?
Well, inherently, you see, what's happening is this kind of a forced decentralization by meaning the city is giving up. You don't know it because they won't give up their covenant to serve the home. They won't, because that's their job. But they are telling the local chip fab or the local animal farm or whatever, you need to treat your own water. We can't handle it. You don't hear about that, but it's happening every single day. Forced decentralization is what's going on. Now, when somebody's forced to treat their own water, guess what? They'll reuse it. They have to pay the freight. In America, okay, here's a little quiz. We know that Israel recycles almost 90% of their water, right? In fact, the only reason there's not war in the Middle East right now is because they're selling water to both Egypt and Israel and Lebanon. So they have 90% recycling. The second nation in the world for recycling is Spain with 20%. Where in that ranking is the United States?
I'm almost afraid to answer.
Well, it is 1%.
Okay. Wow.
But here's why. Because water treatment in our country, yes, it's dominated by that big Army Corps of Engineer, like they build big things, you know, except that 50s mentality, right? The problem is once your water flows downhill to the local water treatment system, it's not going to come back. There's no return trip pipelines. So once it leaves your property, it's going to go in LA, for example, it's going to go down to El Segundo, and then they're going to treat it, and it's going to go into the Santa Monica Bay. It's not coming back up to Shadow Hills. Not going to happen. So, but when if I in Shadow Hills have to treat my own water, I'll go, wait a minute, I just paid for that water. I'm going to reuse it for free. So your quality and your usage is much more responsible if you're doing it. So I say the central water systems will stay as they are. They'll deliver a certain baseline of water quality. The water will come in somehow, and it'll have, it'll have Viagra and hormones and whatever it has in it. It is what it is. But increasingly, people, both at the commercial level and eventually at the single family home level, will have their own systems, and they'll essentially go off the water grid. They'll still need incoming water because it's hard. It's hard for you and me to dig wells and harvest the air for water. So the municipalities will continue to have a role, but much diminished. And that's the essential. That's how decentralization works. You let the central.
Do you think it'll be similar to how the solar world worked then, where, okay, you're technically off the grid if you have 100% solar or a little bit over 100%, but you still have to put some kind of meter on where it feeds reverse to the grid? That way the municipality is still tied in to some extent. Do you think that that's how the water system will essentially go into? And of course, I'm asking you to predict the future, which is always a difficult question to ask anyone.
Well, remember, it will happen, but it'll happen slowly. It's been very slow to happen in energy. Fortunately, the water industry is grateful for the intervention of independent water treatment because they have increasingly had a structural problem. So I think they're up for it. They're good with it. But they're incredibly slow moving. Please save me from a public utility. We have those deals. We love them. But if we had to hold our breath for them, we'd get hypoxia in about 3 minutes. That it's just not, these are very slow deals. What we call them, we call them base loads, right? Our Texas division, which is very good. They're excellent. They get a lot of multinational business, a lot of cities and so forth. And it takes a year to do a deal, and it is what it is. That's not going to be the growth. That's just our capability to deploy solutions. But the growth, I believe, is going to be in enabling others to have water systems by snapping their fingers. That is going to be the future, I believe.
Okay, so now let me ask a strange question. I know that on portion of stuff that I can find about you, you reference at one point how do-it-yourself water is like McDonald's. Could you give me a description of exactly what you mean by that?
Well, sure. Well, do-it-yourself water, first of all, it is the same decentralization concept, on-premises water treatment, et cetera, where, the beauty about McDonald's, many years ago, I was in a facilities position and I toured a warehouse and I said, There was a container sitting there. And I said, what is this? And the broker said, oh, that's a restaurant. In that container was everything the restaurant required, all the way down to the forks and you name it, right? And so all they had to do was ship the thing out, you know, and presumably some landlord had built a building to spec, and you instantly had an up and running thing, and it had the training videos, or you name it. I guess you couldn't include the people in the container. They had to come separately. But the
you could try, but I'm not sure how well that would go over.
Exactly. And AI is still a ways away. This is a very similar concept in that what we're providing is these water systems in a box or black boxes that essentially you say, oh, it needs to have this capability. We'll pre-build it. And when we deliver it, we just plug it in, as opposed to the old-fashioned way, which everybody shovels up on the side and builds, you know, with the rebar and all that, which is old-fashioned, right? So we got to go with the prefabricated home kind of model, which is very similar to this restaurant container kind of model. And, you know, it's how when Ford came along, people stopped going to the car to build it. The car came to them. Well, the same thing's got to happen in water. This is a very antiquated business. We got to get going. So that's what I think is the inevitable trend.
So Riggs, if people want to know more about you and your organization, where can they go to find some more info?
Okay. OriginClear.com, of course, is our website. And every week, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, I do a briefing, a live briefing on Zoom. And I have guests and all that. And these are very informative. They can go to OriginClear.com/CEO, the CEO button at the top. If they're accredited, they can invest. But more important than investing right now is, you know, get briefed, get on the list, and we'll be able to tell you more. I think what's happening is fascinating. We're learning things every single day. And we welcome your listeners to be on this. This can be a lot of fun. And, Jay, I'd like to invite you to my briefing one of these days.
Oh, absolutely. And Riggs, and I have to tell you, the more the technology progresses, I would love for you to come back and, have another round here for sure and let us know what's exactly going on in that world. It sounds very interesting, especially the whole dynamic across the board.
It is. It's got me excited. And if you'd spoken to me 2 or 3 years ago, I would have gone, Jay, I would have given you the happy speech, right? But I was feeling where is the button that opens up this industry, and that I feel a million times better about it. And I have to thank, and it's odd, but the virus did so much to change so much because it forced a reassessment on so many industries of how these industries work. You know, Neiman Marcus was going to go out of business. It was written in the stars. It just did it fast. And I think that's the kind of thing that in a way is good. We're going to merge with a more robust economy. Civilization, I hope, a safer one, because for sure we were not taking care of. We were tolerating very high levels of infection and so forth. And I think we've had a learning experience. So I personally am grateful for what we've gone through, as horrific as it has been.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a life-changing event, and it has actually made us look at things differently, which I think it was important for our growth as a country and, of course, as a society altogether.
Exactly.
Well, Riggs, I appreciate you coming on to the show. This brings another episode of the Jay Allen Show to an end. Thank you for being the best part of Safety FM, and that is the listener. If you haven't come by the website, please do so. We have a contest right now that we are running, that we are giving away the latest version of Todd Conklin's book, When the Worst Accidents Happen. If you come to safetyfm.com/contest, you'll have the possibility of entering in to win a copy of the book. We'll be back with another episode of the Jay Allen Show before too long. Goodbye for now.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
So do you feel like you're missing out on what everyone is starting to do now, that live streaming thing, and you don't know where to start or what to do? I have the resource and the information to provide to you in regards on how you can stream onto 40 social media platforms all at one time. Yes, that's 440 social media platforms all at one time. All you'll need to do is go to safetyfm.com/one. That's safetyfm.com/one. That's O-N-E. So just in case, and you'll be able to start live streaming just like you're hearing people starting to do right now, up to 40 social media platforms.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.